Can you just make that a prayer this evening? That in the hollow of his hands is where we are safe. No matter what betides me, it's in the hollow of his hands that we are safe. In the hollow of his hands we are safe. In the hollow of his hands we are safe. Father, indeed we say thank you. For indeed in the hollow of your hands you have kept us. As the apple of your eyes you have preserved us. Father, it is by your love, your benevolence and your kindness. It's by your providence, O God, that you have sustained us. We say thank you, mighty Father, for you alone is faithful. Take all the glory, Father. Take all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can you celebrate Jesus even as we take our seats? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are still going to be looking at our theme, Faithful God, by the grace of God. That's what we'll be looking at throughout this month. And today we're going to be looking at something, the unchanging nature of the covenant-keeping Father. The unchanging nature of the covenant-keeping Father. Why are we doing this? It is because we say God is faithful. And that faithfulness is his nature. And God will not change. So we're looking at the unchanging nature of the covenant keeping Father. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, speak to us expressly that our heart and our mind will receive that which is from your throne of grace. Thank you, Father, for indeed you will speak to us. You will indeed open the eyes of our understanding and enlightenment will set in. Blessed be God forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. There are many names men have called God. But one of the names experience, or rather, but one name experience forces you to confess is faithful. One of the names of God that you don't just have a choice but to say it is that God is faithful. Why? He has been consistent. Why? God has not changed. From time immemorial, from eons past, God has not changed. His faithfulness has kept on being the same. One man asked me, God can increase his faithfulness. I said, then that means he was partial in the first instance by giving you small faithfulness. God has never been partial with his faithfulness. He has remained consistent with his faithfulness. God does not become faithful. He is faithful. Faithfulness is not an act of God. Faithfulness is the nature of God. Can I have 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13? 2 Timothy 2 verse 13. God does not become faithful. He doesn't just transcend and become faithful. Media, please. Good. If we believe not. Yeah, can I have it in NLT, please? NLT. Thank you, sir. NLT. He said, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. Listen, for he cannot deny who he is. It means that faithfulness is his nature. He cannot deny it. That is who God is. Hallelujah. Listen, people of God, life will expose you to seasons and tests that will test every of your belief. But listen, and those seasons, one revelation can only sustain you. And what is that? God is faithful even when life is not predictable. One of the challenges we face when we get into trouble is that we forget the nature of God. One thing we do is that when we get into trouble, we magnify the problem and then we show our God how big our problem is. And we forget to show our problem how big our God is. I don't know if you understand me. We are busy saying, oh God, I have suffered. And he's like, what? And then you forget that your God is bigger than everything. You see, but this scripture tells us that God cannot deny who he is. It means that people of God, no matter what you pass through, God is watching. He is holding you in the hollow of his hands. So he's carefully and jealously watching over you. God is faithful even when life is unpredictable. God is faithful. So it means when life is inconsistent, when life is unpredictable, there is one thing that is sure and steadfast for you, is to rely on God. Can we just do a little definition here? We talked about faithful. What is faithful? Faithful means to be constant in character or to be consistent in character. It means to be reliable in promise. To be reliable in promise. So, you know, some of us, there are some of us, if you tell me I am coming, I am afraid. I used to complain very well of artisans. An artisan is in Lagos, but he will tell you, I dey careful. In fact, I dey see you. I see the cloth. Where Oga, I dey sight. I dey see you. No. When you tell somebody that I am coming, let your I am coming means I am coming. If you tell somebody I will do a thing, you have made a promise. Keep on to your promises. Listen, the way you will know a matured Christian is by the way he keeps to his words. And that reminds me, there is one evil I'm seeing in the life of some of our youth. You know, I want to send you an answer. I've not asked you whether it's convenient for you. I'll say, help me take you to the mortuary. Thank you. I don't know that. I don't know that you have experienced that kind of thing. The lady was asking me for something. I was trying to explain that I'm in Kefi. I'm not in Abuja. And she was telling me to go to her neighbor's house, my neighbor's house, who is at her relative also. I have not even finished saying, she just gave the message. Please just go to my auntie's house. Tell her this. I said, wait, thank you. She just said, which kind? That is how some of us are. Please, let me tell you, that thing is manipulation. It's manipulation. And the scripture says manipulation is what? It's what? Witchcraft. God bless. That's what the scripture says. May that not be found in us in Jesus' name. We are talking about faithfulness. We say, number one, it means to be consistent and constant in character. We say it is to be reliable in promise. Number three, to be steady in commitment. To be steady in commitment. Listen, I am not trying to boost anybody, but there is a woman here, Madam Rhoda. Honestly, I can testify of some of the things she does. So many of us are doing it. Don't mind me. I'm not saying she's the only one. But you can almost beat your chest that if you come to service, you will find her before any other person. I don't know that you have noticed that, sir. May the Lord bless you, ma'am. May the Lord keep honoring you in the name of... And for so many of us that are doing like that, God bless you. Allow you to is one. So many of us, let me not mention it. But it means to be steady in your commitment. One of the reasons why students fail is that we are not consistent with our books. We are not consistent with our learning. We are not studious. We are not consistent. If we read today for 10 minutes, it's like we have read for the whole semester or for the whole term. What does it mean to be faithful? It means to be immutable in nature. What does it mean? Faithfulness means what God says he means, and what he means he performs. Faithfulness means what God says he means, and what he means he performs. You know, there is this this proverb that, where is it from in the scripture? That the father sent one of the son, and one of the son says, I will not go. And the other one says, I will go. And at the end of the day, the one that said he will go ended up not going. It's the one that said, I will not go, that later changed his mind. And when people of God, let's ask ourselves, who actually obeyed? Number two, we say faithful God, right? Let's look at God now again, one more time. God is not just a deity. It's not just a higher power. God is the eternal, self-existent, unchanging one whose word cannot fail. I take this again. God is not just a deity. He's not just the high power that we so mentioned. God is the eternal self-existent. It means God can only be God. See, God does not need man to exist. God does not need creation to exist. You need God to exist. God is self-existing. You know, there's this argument in theology. They say in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They now ask the question, where was God when he was creating it? I don't know whether you have... In theology, they always argue about this thing. Listen, he was the one that created time. So he existed before all of those creations. God is self-existing. And he says God is a God that his words cannot fail. We said the other day, if God calls me like this and say, you are a woman, immediately I will just turn to you. Because he can, even if I'm a man, whatever he says becomes true, is true. Because he cannot lie. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Now, let's look at something. The foundation of God's faithfulness. What is the foundation of God's faithfulness? People of God, there are three pillars upon which the faithfulness of God depends upon. There are three pillars. Mark this. Number one, his nature. He cannot lie. His nature. Number two, his covenants. He has said he will do it. He binds himself to his words. God has made a covenant. So these are the pillars. Number one, I say his word, his nature. Number two, his covenant. Number three, his oath. He swore. He swore to Abraham. He's by himself. He said, I swear to myself. These are the three foundations why God remains faithful. These are the three pillars. Number one, we say his nature. God is not a man that he should lie. God does not just tell the truth. He is the truth. He is truth itself. And when we say his covenant, what do we mean? He says, my covenant I will not break. Psalms 89 verse 34. The covenant God is tying his integrity to his promises. The covenant, he said, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word I have said. I will not take back a single word I have said. People of God, what has God said concerning you? He will not pull it back. Can I ask you a question? Wait. Do you know that Lucifer left heaven with all the power that he actually has before? I hope you know. With all the fallen angels. If not, they would have been useless now. Do you know what? God gave them as a gift. He will not take it back. If God can do that to those that are rebellious, what of you that you didn't even do at one tenth of what they have done? Do you think when God makes a promise as regarding your life, he will not take it back? If not, but let me tell you, the power that you think the devil has, you have times a million times power than him. It's just that we fail to exercise it. If God didn't take it from Lucifer, he didn't take it from the fallen angels, he left them with it, do you think the promises he has said concerning you, he will pull it back? No. Number three, we say his oath. His oath. When God wants a man to be sure, he swears. Hebrews 6:16-18. He says, he swore because his love insists you must never doubt him. Oh my goodness, God. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. Next verse. God also bound himself with an oath. Listen, God also bound himself. So God doesn't have a choice than to fulfill what he has said, because he said he will fulfill what he has said. So he's even assuring you that he is binding himself to his word. And listen, so that those who receive the promises could be perfectly sure that he will never change his mind. Next verse. Good. So God has given both his promise and what? His oath.
These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. People of God, God cannot pull back what he has given you. You know when people say, I am dying. Do you think God will just take out the life he has given you? No, sir. No, sir. There are procedures for that. Nestle, how does God prove his faithfulness? How does this same God prove his faithfulness? And I'm going to rush through this. There are also three. God proves his faithfulness through one, his word. Every promise of God carries the power for its fulfillment. Every promise in the promise itself is the power to fulfill. So every word cannot just fall to the ground. God's word is not an advice, it is a guarantee. Hi. I left Jos one day, 11 p.m. in the night. I left Jos for Abuja. Everybody was shouting. And that time I was even a born again person. Everybody was shouting that it's risky. Armed robbers, driver fiercely for steering the roads, you know, potholes, driver can lose control and all that and all that. But I had this Panapasipos song that time. I shall not die, but to live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Even at that stage, I said, see, funny enough, now from beer parlor, I come out to. And they come out from the beer parlor. Now I see these guys where they sell cassettes, you know, those CD plates. You know, they used to play some of those things in those days now, when they were pushing it. I say, because of this song, and now because of the Shayo, now I take day later, I say, because of this song, I am going. And see, despite in that moon, God kept his promise. Haba, then talk of now that you know Christ. Haba, then Allah mutanina. How can you say you are sick when God say you cannot be sick? And people of God, believe you me, I got to Abuja around 3 or so in the morning. I got to Abuja and see the wickedness of the devil. I still ended up in another bar. And God kept me all through this. Haba, his faithfulness, even when you are unfaithful, God remains faithful. It's not a guarantee for us to go being unfaithful, people of God. It demands that also we keep our own part of the faithfulness. Do you understand me? But I am telling you that God cannot change because you changed. I said, number one, through his words. And then, okay, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. You can find that in Matthew 24, verse 35. Number two, we say how God proves his faithfulness. One, his word. Number two, through his timing. God's timing is not delay. It is precision. A Yoruba proverb says, and I quote, I like this one. It said, the clock of God never runs slow. He said, it only runs divine. That the clock of God, it's a Yoruba proverb, the clock of God never runs slow. It says that it only runs divine. God can never be too early nor too late. God is right there on time. What you call late, God calls it perfection. You say, Adibi, I do, I'm early. God is saying, no, this is the perfect time. Number three, through his track record. We said, number one, how God proves his faithfulness. Number one, we say, through his word. Number two, through his timing. Number three, we say, through his track record or through his precedence. Hallelujah. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lions He used his track record as guarantee for a new victory. It means that the God who left you for your mother to conceive you and even give birth to you, if he was faithful at that time, he will be faithful and even unto the end. That was why David said, if the Lord can deliver me from the paws of the lion and also the bear, he said he will deliver me surely from the hands of the Philistine. Praise the name of the Lord. God's faithfulness is older than your problem. So why don't you stick to the faithfulness and leave the problem alone? No matter what problem you care to think about, God's faithfulness is older than that problem. Why do men always doubt the faithfulness of God? Why do men doubt? God is faithful, but processes can seemingly look slow. When we disconnect too early, we miss the manifestation. People of God, listen very well. Why do men doubt him? It's because we think God's timing and our timing is the same. Oh, why do men doubt God's faithfulness? One, we judge God by human experience. We judge God by what we think we know. We judge God by what we think we feel. We judge God by our own experience. Number two, what is the problem? Our impatience with divine process. It's like we are telling God that, God, do me this miracle my way. God is faithful, but processes can seemingly look slow. Number three, the ministry of satanic accusations. Ayah. Satan's oldest weapon is to make you question God's goodness. I quote again. Satan's oldest weapon is to make you question God's goodness. It was the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. It was the same thing that he did in heaven before he came down. The same thing. Until today, he's still doing it over and over again, yet we fall to it. You remember what he told Eve? I think that's Genesis 3:1 or so. I think Genesis 3:1. Did God really say? I think that's Genesis 3:1. Neither, let me have it. Good. Did God really say you must not eat? Are you seeing that? People of God, when the devil wants to tempt you, he will just say, did he really say? Then you begin to question. You begin to put in your own imagination. This is how we fail. People of God, let's look at this line now. The dimension of God's faithfulness to believers. Let's look at it. I'm going to rush through, hit these points briefly. I think this is the last point for today. The dimension of God's faithfulness to believers. The dimension. Number one, God is faithful to forgive. People of God, God is faithful to forgive. It is only man that does not forgive. And it is only a man that is without the Spirit of God that finds it difficult to forgive. Sometimes we can be so wounded. Sometimes our spirit can be so vexed. Listen, we find it difficult to even forgive. Kai! When I lost my older brother, my only brother, Ibrahim, then one of my cousins came. And now said that he went and discovered that it is one of my aunties that, oh, village people, may God help them in Jesus' name. He said it is one of my aunties that killed him. In other words, I should have a new enemy. In other words, I should start praying for her own death. In other words, I should go and challenge her. But I went home. Funny enough, but I discarded the statement too. Truly, I discarded the statement. But when I went home, the devil now made a manufacturing company of that statement. Started manufacturing bitterness, hatred, suspicions. And funny enough, I now traveled. The woman now can't carry one big container of pepper. You know, some of us that eat meat a lot, we like pepper very well. Hallelujah. So she now did, she knows I like pepper. She now carry plenty pepper. Come give me. I wanted collecting it, and I remember that statement. People of God, Shaitan Yabi Nisena. Hallelujah. I had to dodge. But truth be told, it took time before that wound could heal. People of God, once you find that unforgiveness in your life, Satan has taken a full hold. And when we are looking at the dimensions of God's faithfulness, he said God is faithful to forgive. If we confess our sins, the Bible says he is faithful and just. 1 John 1:9, right? 1 John 1:9. Your past cannot intimidate a faithful God. Your past cannot intimidate him. It says here, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. People of God, look at two things here. He says, number one, that he is faithful and what? Just. So it means that even when he forgives, he justifies you for why you are forgiven. He justifies why the punishment should not come. He's not just forgiving. You know, some people can forgive and not forget. So he is forgiving you and justifying the fact that you must be forgiven. The dimensions. Two, he is faithful to preserve. God is faithful to preserve. What do we mean here? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3, it says, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Kai. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you or establish you and guard you from the evil one. This is the word of God. People of God, you see why sometimes when scriptures like this, when something happens to you and you say, oh God, why me? You have called God a liar. You have told God that he's not faithful and that he has not strengthened you. He has not protected you from the evil one. That is exactly why me means. God. He didn't bring you this far to abandon you. God will never do so. Listen, people of God, there are days things will get to a point that you feel like quitting. Honestly, I have passed through days like that. There are days I look around me, I just say, what is all these things for? Let me just find my way and just get out of here. People of God, that is when God will say, I never gave up on you. I never gave up on you. And let me tell you the truth. There are some bitterness that will come from those that you so love, those that you so respect. Those are the kind of bitterness that you find very difficult to let go. People of God, at that point, let go. Your faith is being tried. This word is for somebody today. Your faith is being tried. Your faithfulness is being questioned. When the person that offends you is somebody that you hold in high esteem and high regards, the person just throws you to the gutter, call you all sorts of things. People of God, it is painful. Let's keep at it. God is faithful. We say, one, faithful to forgive. Number two, faithful to preserve. And then number three of this is faithful to provide. God is faithful to provide. Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh because he saw provision where he saw no possibility. That is in Genesis 22 verse 14. Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh, my provider. This word is deep. Abraham, let me have that translation. I think I saw something there. Abraham named the place Yahweh. Okay, let me explain this. In the Hebrew and literature, there is no J. It's English language that created the letter J. So when you hear like Yeshua, it's actually Joshua. Okay? Okay, that Y is J. So when you see Yahweh here and then Jireh, you understand what it means, okay? Like, it means Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. This I don't think this translation is correct. The Lord will provide. It's the Lord has provided, or the Lord provides at all times. So if you're saying the Lord will provide at all times, I'm okay with this. He said, to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Listen, as far as you are doing God's job, as far as you are doing God's work, if now God send you go that place, God will give you transportation. I always say this thing, whatever you are doing, if it is the business of God, your God will surely provide. Sometimes you might think that the things are not working. Don't worry. Even at that moment, God is providing. When God is your shepherd, but lack becomes impossible. When God is your shepherd, Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. When God becomes your shepherd, lack becomes an impossibility. People of God, God never abandons a product. God never abandons a project. What God has started, He will surely finish. People of God, in this month of God's faithfulness that we are saying thank you for your faithfulness, I want you to hold this at the back of your mind that every of these points we have said, God said he's going to keep his word. He is faithful and just that he will keep his word. If he says he will do something, he is surely going to do it, and he is doing it. Don't worry about the timing. God does not delay. He is always on time. Can we rise even as we pray? People of God, you must always know that your God is an all-sufficient God. Your God doesn't need anybody else to prove that he is God in your life. So listen, people of God, when men are mocking you, when men are saying, Siam, Nasi finish, don't worry. God is repackaging you for something else. You are for a sign and for a wonder. People of God, never forget that. When men will tell you that there is a casting down, look up and say, no, my God never said there is a casting down. I will not be casted down. God only said there is a lifting up. So I am going from one level of glory unto another. I am growing line upon lines and then precept upon precept. What God has said concerning my life, he is faithful to see it to an end. What am I afraid of? What has taken over the promises of God in my heart? What has caused fear in our hearts that we cannot depend on this God again who is faithful? Do you know it is we that run away from his faithfulness? Because his faithfulness is sure. His faithfulness is ever there. We are the one that bring our problems and we make our problems look bigger than the word of God that he said he has sworn by his name to keep. Can you just begin to pray and look inwards? I like this month to be a month of reflection for us. We are not just looking at God's faithfulness upon our lives. How faithful are we to the things of God? How faithful are we to the things of the Spirit? How faithful are we? How faithful are we? Chooks, can you take me to the verse? Can you take me to the verse where he said, my cup, where my cup overflow? Psalm 23. I want to show you something. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the midst of my enemies. Verse 4 and 5. Let's check 4 and 5. Or change the translation if you are good, people of God. Listen to this. He said, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Now, let me show you what is happening here. I was sharing with the discipleship class, and I was trying to explain this scripture. Listen, in those days, kings, when they sit down to eat, it is mostly a buffet. So when they sit down to eat, you find like a senator, you find like a round table. So you see the king at this end, then you see all members of his council, sometimes his wife still join, sometimes not always, but you find them sitting like this. Now, beside the king, you will find the cup bearer and the wine bearer, Do these two people always stand by him? Or the baker rather, and the wine bearer. You find the baker and the wine bearer. Now you find all assorted meats and drinks and food and everything. Now listen, you will know the person that the king loves the most, because he will be the one that has more wine in his cup. So when they are drinking, now the king is the one that tells the wine bearer, he say, go and add wine to that man's cup. And you discover that some people, their wine will finish and the king will not ask for a replacement. So what this scripture is saying, he said, God carried the wine.